Okay. I wanted to examine this evening the mitzvah of achnasas orchim. This is the mitzvah that emerges at the beginning of the parsha when Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu, and the Torah describes vayisaina vayav inesh losha anashim mitzavim alav. Suddenly, he encounters three individuals, and Avraham Avinu responds. And how does he respond? He tells Hashem, I'm putting you on hold. And this is what the Gemara says. Rashi quotes it actually here. Gedola hachnasa sorchim yosem mikabalas panei shechina. That hachnasa sorchim, greeting your guests and tending to them, is more significant than kabalas panei shechina. This is an astounding statement in and of itself, that you can put Hashem on hold. The key is achnasas orchim. I'll come back to that in a few moments. But I want to do at the outset, I want to compare, if you have a chumash in front of you, you can actually see this with your own eyes, if you don't mind. As we all know, Lot grew up in the ambience, in the environs of Avraham Avinu. So Lot unquestionably absorbed from Avraham Avinu, no doubt about it. However, as we know, that Lot chose to live in Sodom, and that itself was not a wise decision, because Sodom was a city that clearly the environment left a lot to be desired. The mores, the morals, the ethics, or lack thereof, certainly were quite egregious, quite noticeable. And yet Lot decided to live in Sodom, and that itself was an indication that somehow he was not completely sufficiently absorbed of all the midos of Avraham Avinu. So I want to compare now, at the very beginning of the shir, Avraham Avinu, how he reacts to Orchim, and a little bit later we'll see how Lot reacts to Orchim. Just take a look at the psukim. So I'll start from the beginning. Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu, and then he sees three people, and suddenly, vayar, the moment he sees them, vayoras ikrosu mipesach ha'oel vayishtachu orza. Right away he runs. This is the verb that appears and recurs many, many times, as you'll see in a moment. Vayoratz, Avraham Avinu starts running. And next pasuk gimel, vayomar alav dalad nun yud imnom matzasi chen beinecha al nos arba me'al abdecha. He begs them, please don't leave. And Chazal, the Gemara actually has a Masechta Shavuos on daf lamedheim bebeis a machlokes whether this shem Hashem is it a shem Hashem alav dalad nun yud, is it kodesh or is it chol? In other words, essentially, is he talking to them, my master or my lord, or is he talking to Hashem? So that's a machlokas, and it's relevant to Ksiva Sefer Torah. When the Sefer Torah is written by a sofer, so whenever he writes the Shem Hashem, he has to write the Lishma, has to be written Lishem Kedushas Hashem. So that's the question, whether this would be applicable over here. It means, is Avraham Avinu turning to Hashem when he says, Alav Dal Nun Yud, over here in Pasuk Gimel, or is he turning to the Orchim? Halacha l'maisa, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that this shem is Kodesh. Avraham Avinu is speaking to Hashem, and basically what's he asking? He's asking Hashem, please wait while I'm being metapel with my Orchim. I continue. Pasuk Dalet. Yukach nomad mayim brachatzu aglechem. Avraham Avinu wants them to be comfortable. V'hishon utachas ha'eitz. They should rest in the shade. Don't forget, Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes it, that Hashem hotzi chama min artika. The sun was literally blazing. It was an inferno out there. And so he recognizes that Avraham Avinu is right after the Bris Milah. He's 99 years old, and yet he is incredibly lahut, excited about the possibility of having Orchim, even when looking for them, as we say. And I continue. Pasukei, v'echa paslachem v'sadu libchem. He wants to literally wind them and dine them. Achar ta'avoro, then they can go. Ki al ken avartem al avdechem. Obviously, there's some reason why they came by. There's Avraham Avinu saw every opportunity as a message from Hashem. So had suddenly these three people appear on the scene, clearly they came, and clearly his mandate is to do achnasas orchim. So they are so taken aback by his welcoming kind of overture. Right away, they say, King Tase Kashe Dibata. And now continuing in Pasuk Vov, Vayimahe Avram Oel Sora. Again, the word that was used earlier, Vayorots, and now Vayimahe. He's running. And what does he tell Sarah? Mahari, run, quick. We have to do things efficiently, quickly, energetically, passionately. And he tells her what to prepare, to make ugot, to make some sort of cakes. And then the Torah continues, the Pasuk Zayin, V'yala Bokar, Rotz Avraham. Again, he's running. V'yikach ben Bokar, Rachvato, V'yitein ala nar, V'yimahir, Laso, so, so. Again, the word V'yimahir. Look how many times the Torah uses these two verbs. The verb Ritza, and the verb Limahir, to hurry, to rush. Everything is done with a tremendous excitement, with a tremendous passion, with tremendous zrizus. And then the Torah describes exactly what happened subsequently. So now let's compare this to Lot. In Perek Yutes, this is in the beginning of Perek Yutches, and now in Perek Yutes, the Torah describes that two of the Malachim now came to Sdom, and they come to Lot. Pasuk Aleph, Vayavo Shnei Malachim Sdom Uber, Velot Yoshe B'Shar Sdom. Vayar Lot. Avraham Avinu, it says also Vayar, but there it said Vayoratz Likrasam, and here the Torah says Vayokom Likrasam. He gets up to greet them, not the same kind of Ritza, not the same kind of Zrizos that was exhibited by Avraham Avinu. And then it continues, Vayomer, Hineino, and again, Aleph Dal Nun Yud, but here there's no Suffolk in the Gemara whether this is a Shem Kodesh or a Shem Chol, because obviously he's talking to these individuals, and he tells them, Suruna el beis avdechem, come to my house, to the house of your servant. Velino verachasu aglechem, again, very similar to the language that was used by Avraham Avinu, but Avraham Avinu does it with incredible exuberance, with incredible excitement. And here you don't see the same kind of excitement. And then he tells them, after you go and wash and relax a little bit, and then you go on your merry way. That's not what Avraham Avinu told them. Right away, he literally is ready to wine them and dine them from a pure chesed perspective, literally all out. He's going to go on behalf of the Orchim. You don't see that in the context of Lot. So what do they say? No, keep our chov, though, we rather lodge outside. We don't have to go inside. So what does he do? Vayitzar b'mo. Okay, so he implores them, he begs them. Vayavo beso, vayas lehem mishte umatzos afa vayochelo. And then suddenly, before we know it, before they had a chance to rest for the night, the Anshei Sdom now encircle the entire house. They encompass the entire house, and the way the Torah describes it, minav yad zokin, literally from young to old, the entire city, like a mob scene that arrived. And now they call out to Lot and they issue a pronouncement. Mind-boggling. They're ready to literally engage in unnatural sexual acts. That's the language of Vineda Osam, homosexual rape. So right away, Lot goes out. And he says, don't engage in this kind of terrible behavior. And what does he offer? I have two daughters. Instead of the homosexual behavior that you're about to engage in, what do I recommend? God forbid, Rahmanul Litzlan, rape of my two daughters. Mind-boggling that Lot can make such a suggestion. Why? Because hachnasas orchim. You could do whatever you wish with them. And he writes at the end of Pasuk Ches, Rak la'anoshim ha'el al tasu davar, don't touch these guests of mine. Ki al kein bo mitzel karasi. Because they came and they are my guests and they have to be treated with the utmost of hospitality. So the Ramban on the spot is astounded, as we all are, by the incredible behavior, by the ghastly behavior, by the horrific behavior of Lot. Says the Ramban in Pasuk Ches, Mitoch Shivcho Shal Ish Hazeh, here we're observing Hachnasas Orchim, and yet somehow his values are so distorted, are somehow so distended, are so disfigured, that he's so worried about his achsanya, about his guests, about saving them. So what is he going to do? He'll appease the mob out there. How? By being mafker his daughters. So the Ramban says this is Roa Lev. Shalohoya Inyan Hazima Benoshim Merchak Be'enav. Apparently, he wasn't troubled by promiscuity. Didn't trouble him. And even further, his own daughters, that they should be subjected to this kind of Hamas, as we know earlier, Batimodeh Haaretz Hamas. And he quotes from Chazal that normally a person is Meisa Nefesh for his wife, for his children, and he'd rather be killed rather than, God forbid, something should happen to them. And what does he do? He gives over his daughters that they should go ahead, Rahman al-Litzlan, and sexually engage in terrible behavior. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem said, this kind of behavior is absolutely unconscionable. But it was based on what? On his distorted concept of chesed. Hachnasas Orchim, Iber Alice, overrides everything. Ad Kidekach, where even basic sexual mores, as the Ramban indicates, somehow he doesn't understand. In other words, even though he had been in the ambience of Avraham Avinu, but he hadn't spent sufficient time there in order to be able to absorb fully the proper values and how one should be mekayim in the mitzvah of achnasas orchim in the ideal fashion. And it's even more fascinating in some respects that after the destruction of Sodom, we know what happened. Namely, that we have Lot, essentially in Perek Yutes, also Vayera, Pasuk Chavtes, Vayi B'shachet Selokim Esarei HaKikar, Vayizkar Elokim Esavram, Vayishalach Eslot Mitoch HaAfecha, Vayafoch Eserim Asher Yashar Bahim Lot. So Lot now and his two daughters are the only people around. We know about Eshes Lot, the Torah describes it. So now we have Lot and his two daughters, and their thinking is they're the only ones left in the world. They thought the entire world had been destroyed, similar to what happened upon the heels of the Mabul. And what happened? They decide to go and have an incestuous relationship with their father. And as a result, of course, we know that there are two very well-known, very famous nations that emerge from this. The Torah describes it, actually. Moab and Ammon. So the Ramban says, what was their motivation? Chesed. Olam chesed yibaneh. Hashem created the world for the purpose of propagating chesed. So here again, you have another example of chesed. Yes, no question about it. But chesed that is in the context of an incestuous relationship. Again, mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. And this is a sample of the contrast between Avraham Avinu and Lot. Avraham Avinu's chesed is completely and totally l'shem shamayim. A chesed which is, of course, writ large, the hispashtus, the ultimate of chesed, but Lot somehow doesn't have a clue. I want to go back to the beginning of the Chazal that I quoted, that Rashi brings from the Gemara and Shabbos. G'dol achnosa sorchim yosu mekabolas mei ashrina. That Avraham Avinu told Hashem, I'm putting you on hold, I got to take care of my guests. So then he asked the question, how did Avraham Avinu know this halacha? Who told him that you go and tell Hashem, listen, I'm putting you on hold, even though I'm involved in a dialogue with you, I got to take care of my guests. Where do you get this from? So there are a number of answers to this question. I want to share with you a comment of the Vilna Gaon that I found in the Sefer Kol Eliyahu, a striking comment. The Gemara points out that the Gemara Numa, Daf Nun Gimel, that Kohanim, after they did the Avodah Leviim, when they did their Avodah, the Duchen, and Klal Yisrael in the Mamodos, so when they would leave the Makom HaMikdash, how would they leave? They wouldn't turn their back to the Makom HaMikdash. Probably many of you are familiar that when people go to the Kosel HaMaravi, also they back out of the Kosel HaMaravi. Many people actually, when they leave a shul, they back out. And in general, there are even Rabbanim who are very machmir not to ever have their backs to their own Kodesh, even though that's almost an impossibility, because they're speaking from the Bima usually. But the Taz writes in Yerodeya that since the Aron Kodesh is closed, it's a Rishus B'fnei Atzmo, it's a separate domain, Al Pi Halacha, there's no problem. And secondly, Rabbanim are darshining, so Mishum Kavod HaTorah, they're allowed to go ahead and their backs to be the Aron Kodesh. But there still are those who are very, very makbid. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was incredibly makbid, his back should never be to a Sefer Torah. So, Uriel, what did he do on Simchas Torah when we're having Hakafis? He had to constantly be swiveling to make sure that his back would never be to the Sefer Torah, because the Kavod HaTorah was so great That was amazing. So the Vilna Gaon quotes the Gemara in Yuma Nun Gimel. The Gemara says that when they would leave, the Kohanim, the Levim, would leave the Avodah they were doing, they would always sort of back out or turn to the side. And so too, the halacha is, Talmud HaNiftah Melefnei Rabbah, even a Talmud who leaves his Rebbe, so it says that he should not turn his back to his Rebbe, but he should sort of move sideways. And the Gemara tells a number of stories along those lines. So the Vilna Gaon says that Avraham Avinu, when he left the Shekhinah to be Mekabel the Archim, what should he have done? In effect, Avraham Avinu, what does the Pasuk say? Vayar vayorotz likrosam bipesach ha'oel. That literally, he turned his face away from the Shekhinah. How could he possibly do that? Well, we know when a person is talking to the Shekhinah, what should one do? One should back out, or one should move sideways. And Avraham Avinu, what did he do? Hechzir pono. Apparently, he came to the maskana that achnasas orchim is greater than kabbalas b'nei Shekhinah. Normally, when a person is in the kabbalah b'nei Shekhinah, so how do you leave the Shekhinah? You back out. You move to the side. Avraham Avinu just simply turned around because obviously, says the Vilna Gaon, this mitzvah is greater than kabbalas b'nei Shekhinah. That is one answer to this question. I always answer this question in a very balabatish, simple kind of way, namely that Avraham Avinu, the answer is, how did he know Kol HaTorah Kula? Just like he knew the rest of Torah, so he also knew this halacha as well. There was no Torah that was written. The Ramban actually quotes a Medrash that he somehow his kidneys were just spurting forth Torah, Kloyos Novos. You know, somehow some thought of Ruach HaKodesh. That's how the Medrash writes. It means essentially the way my Rabbeim explained that Medrash, which is quoted by the Ramban, that Avraham Avinu, since he was created by Tzema Elokim, his innate nature was to carry out the Dvar Hashem. Torah is the Chochma of Hashem Yisbarach, and therefore the Tzema Elokim has to be similar to Hashem Yisbarach. Avraham Avinu was the Tzema Elokim, was able to somehow apprehend or acquire the Torah on his own from his Neshama, which is a very high level. So why aren't we able to acquire the Torah on our own? I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. Why don't I have that koach? And the answer, of course, is because the Pasuk says in Koheles and Perek Zayin, Velokim also is Adam Yosha. Hashem made us glatt, made us straight. But unfortunately, we're not makbin on our yashuas. If we were to be makbin on our yashuas, we would also come to Yedias HaTorah. We'd come to a knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula. The others are called Yishorim. The Nesiv has Nagdomat is Perish Al HaTorah, Hamik Dobar. He quotes the Gemara of the Zohar Chafei. The Gemara says the others were called Yisharim because they guarded this yashuas, this being straight and glatt, their entire lives. And that's why they were able to acquire the Torah on their own from within without having to receive it outside. But we are not like that. Even though we were created Yisharim, but then we're only looking for all kinds of cheshbeinus. What's good for me? What do I like? What do I enjoy? And that interferes, obviously, with the person's ability to go ahead and be mekayim the Torah on his own. I just want to mention a number of unbelievable lessons that we learn out from Avraham Avinu as far as Achnasas Orchim. Number one, an Orech has to be treated with incredible friendship. I would say even love. Number two, you have to right away prepare a place for an Orech that he should be able to rest from the Torah Haderach, from the weary travels that he had. Number three, you have to provide them with the best macholim, with the literally top five food items that are, shall we say, those that are served to the aristocrats, to kings and princes. Number four, the Pasuk says, "Yivyecha paslechem besadu lichem." And then, Bi'al HaBokar Ratz Avram, before he prepared the steak dinner, actually Chazal, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, he gave them tongue with mustard. I always had a suffix, which mustard that he used? I imagine he probably used some Gulden's mustard. I have to like Gulden's mustard. But there are other mustards as well, Batamt mustard. I can't get it here in SSL. But I happen to like Batam mustard. The sharper, the merrier. But what's amazing, that before he prepared that dinner of the tongue, of the meat, what did he do? He gave them an entree. Let me give you some piping hot, succulent, fresh bread before the meal. In other words, they shouldn't, God forbid, starve in the interim. They say that over from him, saw Salanta. That's what he said. Beyond that, notice this rizus, vayorotz, vayimaher, unbelievable energy that's being expended to be mekayim the mitzvah. Number five or six, I don't know where I am. Guess who's the waiter? He himself is waiting on them. He's the one, he's the Meltzar. He's the one who's serving them. He's the one who's waiting on them. And of course, the most important mitzvah, Nachnas Sarchim, the Gemara says in Saita, is Livoy. Once the Archim leave, you have to be malabah them, you have to escort them. And when is Avraham Avinu doing all this? The third day after the Bris Milah, when he's obviously in tremendous pain, the Gemara says on the third day, that's always the day of the amount of greatest pain, the greatest tsar. But he has even greater tsar if Archim do not come. And Avraham Avinu, Kayadua, is the one who is the model par excellence for Achnasas Archim. So this is just a precy, a very brief look into Achnasas Archim. Perhaps I will be Messiah, I'll end by referring to a story that I heard a number of times when the Briskov, Soloveitchik's uncle, Zatzal, Rabbi Yitzchak Zeid Halevi Soloveitchik, when he was in Schweiz, he was in Switzerland. So one of his Talmidim came there because he had a son who was not so well, and the air in Switzerland is very good, very tzach, very fresh. And so he had to go and air out, as it were, but also he was involved in medical treatment in a hospital over there. So this particular Talmud didn't have enough money to pay for all the medical expenses that unfortunately devolved upon him. So the Briskov asked one of the Dolei Ador, who was actually a cousin of his, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the same name as Rav Soloveitchik's father. He had a cousin there, also named Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in Switzerland, and also for one of the wealthy Jews living there, Rav Wolf Rosengarten, that they should help this individual pay for the expenses. So they agreed to take upon themselves the medical expenses, and they told the Briskov that when they have the receipts for the expenses, that that he will, in effect, show them the receipts, whatever the medical expenses are, and they'll worry about taking care of the payment for these expenses. So the Briskov said that, no, on the contrary, you have to go ahead and run after those kabbalot, run after those receipts. Now, his point was that you're not doing a mitzvah simply as a tova, as a favor for somebody else. Once a person has the opportunity to do chesed, so then it's your mitzvah, or to quote Rabbi Elmaleh Shlita, Rabbi Dr. Elmaleh, he always says, you have to own it. You have to own the mitzvah. You have to own up to it. So that's what the Briskov told him. You have to own it. Has to become yours. Every single aspect of the mitzvah has to be mekuyam through yourselves. Or what Chazal say, perhaps that's what Chazal mean. Hamasla the mitzvah, om lo gemar. A person starts a mitzvah, you have to complete it. You have to do it from alf to tuf. And that's how the Gdolei Yisrael actually were involved in Achnasas Archim. And this story actually also reminds me when I, first time I came to visit Hagoyin Rav Levinsohn Shlita. So, and not only did I remain there for an extended period of time, I overstayed my bounds, that's for sure. But after I finished about an hour and a half with him, he then put on his coat, it was in the winter, and his hat, and he was malaving me all the way downstairs. I was very uncomfortable, almost embarrassed that the Gadol HaDor should be malaving myself. So I asked him, what is the nature of this kind of activity? So he told me, what? It's a Gemara. It's Tzukim with Avraham Avinu. You have to be malabah the Yorech. There's a dinner of Achilo Shtia, Vayita Eshel. Eshel stands for Achilo Shtia, but the Lamed is Leviya. You have to be malabah the person. Minimally Dalaramas, but I said he walked more than Dalaramas. So he walked all the way downstairs and even outside, and I was amazed by that. So that's also a very significant halacha in Achnasas Orchim. And Achnasas Orchim is a mitzvah that the Rambam writes in Hilchas Avelos. He has a following comment. It's a mitzvah that's probably the Rabbanon. It's probably rabbinic in nature, but there are many kiyumim daraisa. The Maisa mitzvah may be the Rabbanon, similar to Bikur Cholin, Hachnosas Kala, Halvoya Sames. Those are all rabbinic pu'ulos. However, there's a kiyum mitzvah daraisa. What kiyum mitzvah daraisa do you get? V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, says the Rambam. He interprets it with the Ramban and Kedoshim, Perek Yutes interprets it as well. The way you want to be treated, that's how you should treat others. So this is one of the most beautiful mitzvahs, and there's no question, Avraham Avinu, he's the practitioner of chesed par excellence. The Bris HaChesed that Avraham Avinu demonstrated That should be the model for all of us, the mitzvah Hashem. Halavai, we should be mekayim this mitzvah unquestionably. Through achnasas orchim, we can be mekarev. Acheinu b'nei Yisrael, those who are distant, those who are not yet with us, if we are fulfilling the mitzvah achnasas orchim in the ideal way, there's no question in my mind that we'll come to the matzah of what the Gemara says in Shabbos. Il moli shomu Yisrael shtei shabbosos miyad nigolin. If Klal Yisrael were to observe two shabbosim consecutively, the gula will come as a result of achnasas orchim and the love that we should show for every single Jew. Doesn't make a difference what their ethnic situation is, what their color is. Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Misnagdim, Litaim, Taimanim, it's irrelevant. Moroccans, Iranians, wherever they come from, geographically, and whoever they are, show them achnasas orchim. And if we do so, no doubt Hashem will bring about Ezra Hashem, the Gula Shlema, b'mherav yamin.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Rosh Hashiva and beautiful.
Thank you, Rosh Hashiva.
Yashikach. Have a good night.
Can I ask Rosh Hashiva a question?
Of course.
If according to Rashi, they never ate bread because Sarah was a nida, then why does Rashi say later that they wanted to know where Sarah was to give her the kosher bracha if they didn't need to bench because they never washed it?
The question you're asking me, someone else asked me, one of your colleagues asked me also a good kasha. I think Netanel asked this question, but you're asking a very good question as well. He asked me a stira in Rashi. My father was bothered by this stira that the pasuk says here, Vayikach chema v'cholav. So Rashi says, why didn't he bring bread? She became a nida. That she once again was menstruating. And the Issa became Tomei. You know that, Rashi? Beginning of Vayera. So he asked me, that doesn't fit with what it says a bit later. Pasuk Yud Beis. If you have a Chumash there, you can see it in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. That Avram Masara, when the Malach came and told Avraham Avinu, your wife's going to have a child. So Sarah was, so to speak, behind the door. And they were both elderly. And the pasuk says in Yerav, Chod Aliyos Sarah Arach Anoshim, she stopped menstruating. Batitzchak Sarah Bekir Alei Machrei Velosi Haysa Liedna. What are you talking about? I'm, so to speak, older. And I no longer have, shall we say, as Rashi says, Zman Besen Nidot. That's an outright stira. Before I get to your kasha. So that's what he asked me in the Tanel. So my father asked his kasha. So I told my father, firstly, that what Rashi quotes earlier, that he didn't bring any bread because Persa Sara Nida, that's a medrash. It's not the simple pshat in the pasuk. And this is the pshuto shel mikra. Pshuto shel mikra is that she was older. And then when she was no longer, that's what I think is the correct answer to this question. But now you're asking even further. You're asking from Sukkim, at the end of the Pasha, you're actually really asking from Chayisara, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, in Vayera, the Malachim ask, like, Ayisara. And then Rashi says one of the reasons is because they want to give her a kosher bracha of the
bench. Let me just take a look at the Rashi inside, if you don't mind. What pasuk is that on? Let me just find it. Ayisara Ishtecha, here it is. Says Rashi, they knew where she was. So, what are you asking regarding the kosher bracha?
Why would they have a kosher bracha?
What was that?
Why would they have a kosher bracha if they never washed?
Because kosher bracha is after birchas avosim. But the truth of the matter is that the pasuk says they did wash because it's mentioned that in the beginning, v'yechal pas lechem, in pasuk hey. Avraham Avinu told them, let me get some bread. I just told you in the shir that before the tongue or before the steak dinner, whatever you want to call it, so he offered them bread in order to give them at least some entree. So they did wash right over there, I would say. V'yechal pas lechem.
Did they ever get the bread? Because it seems like he went to get the bread and saw it was Tomei, so they couldn't give it. They couldn't
ask you a good question. The Torah does not mention it, but let's assume that that's exactly what happened. I think we have to assume that because it says, "Desadu libchem achar ta'avoru," and then you will be able to go on, move ahead. And they said, Ken Tasek Asher Dibarta. We'll do as you say. So I imagine that Ken Tasek Asher Dibarta is a fulfillment of the bread element. And that's why here at the Kosher Bracha now fits as well for Bracha Samozen a la Kos. By the way, that's also a din that I actually, whenever I have a Zimun, I do it a la Kos. Whenever I have three men, so I do Bracha Samozen a la Kos. It's a Hidur Mitzvah. The Gemara Avim Sochim, you didn't get to it yet. I mean, you did. You got the Gemara in Avim Sochim, of course.
Yeah, we did it in the 10th parag, yeah.
Correct. So the Gemara in Avim Sochim said there's a Hidur Mitzvah of Zimun Alakos. So I try to be machmed about it whenever I have three men. I don't have three men in my house because the men are essentially gone. But whatever the case is, whenever I have three men, if I invite people, etc., and we have children, so then we do it of a kosher bracha. So I think there's no stira because there was lechem. Now, I'm bothered by another issue. That maybe, I mean, the question of the mashkin, because Pirsa Nida. Now, it could be that Avraham Avinu did not want to send it to her. Why didn't he want to send it to her? Because it could be, since Pirsa Nida, so the mashkin would become Tomei. So that's why, from his perspective, they're the ones who said, Ayei Sarah Rishtecha, the Shagila Kol Shebracha came from them. Okay, I don't know, but I think the answer to your question is that there was lechem, and that's why there was Bichas Abazim with the Kosher Bracha.
Thank you, Hashim. Have a good night.
Okay, be well. Tov.